The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. But you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, and now I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. But see, now I'm talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me and my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and I escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there's nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated, by the surpassing greatness of the revelations. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, Luke 8, 4 to 15. The sermon title is, "The Word Grows the Church." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this weekend's balmy weather reminded me of my first attempt at gardening as a child. In my first attempt, I saved some apple seeds from an apple at lunch and planted them one by one in different places in our garden. Then there were a couple of uncooked beans that I planted together in one spot, based on the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. I think I also tried an uncooked potato and an uncooked carrot, something our teacher talked about in class. All those attempts at growing plants never bloomed or came to fruition, and I watched them every day for months. Nothing came up. It was only years later that I realized that the native soil in that backyard in West San Jose was an alluvial clay, which when dried was as hard as rock. The clay lacked humus or any nutritional material for plants. So today, if I do any planting, I use planting soil, even if the native soil is good, and I prefer to start seeds in flats or containers. I learned my lesson well. The vital importance of good soil for the growth and maturity of plants is the subject of our gospel lesson this morning. It is one of Jesus' most famous parables, often known as the parable of the sower, because of the main character in it. You know, Jesus didn't give a title. That's just in your Bible. He didn't say that, nor did the evangelists. I prefer to call it the parable of the four soils, because that's closer to the main point that Jesus wants to learn from it. The first thing we notice about this gospel is that a great crowd of people assembled to hear it. We see that in verse 4. After Jesus had told the parable, he met privately with the 12 and maybe some other disciples. And in this private meeting, he gave the explanation to the parable that we read in verses 10 to 15. Jesus intentionally told the 12 these secrets, as verse 10 notes, so that the people would have to go to the 12 apostles to learn the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. In this way, he was preparing the 12 to be the teachers and pastors of the future church, and it was a role they would continue after his death until the end of their lives. Now, in this parable, the sower did not use flats or containers, but simply spread his seed by what's called the broadcast method, just throwing it out. As he threw the seed out right to the edge of his plot of land, some fell through the fence or whatever it was there, maybe a berm, fell onto the adjoining path, which was hardened by years of use. It was probably very much like the garden that I tried to plant my seeds in. The seed there lay on top of the path until it was consumed by a flock of birds. Perhaps they were like the crows that nab every edible scrap or seed in our neighborhood here at Alameda and 29th Avenue. Other seeds fell among thorns. This was the native weed for that semi-arid climate, as it still is today in the Holy Land. Some seed fell among rocks. Have you ever seen pictures of rural Israel? Rocks are everywhere, not unlike rural New England. Finally, there was some seed that fell on good soil. Luke's account of the parable says it produced 100-fold. Mark and Matthew, which also have the parable, state 30, 60, and in some places 100-fold. Whatever the yield, the result was that the sower had a good crop with finally a net gain of seed, even though much of the seed went to waste. So what does this parable mean? Fortunately, we have Jesus' own explanation, unlike some other parables whose explanations were never given. The key to this parable is in verse 11, which states, "The seed is the word of God." The parable is about the spreading of God's word, primarily by preaching and teaching, but also by hearing lessons read on Sunday, by receiving the sacraments in which the word is encased, by receiving the absolution in which forgiveness, that important word, is given, by personal evangelism, by family devotions, or simply by reading the scripture on your own. All those ways are ways in which the word of God, when it's heard and understood, the seed is at work, trying to sprout and to grow. What then is the law application of this text? We find the law in the first three cases. It's talking about those who reject or neglect the word of God, and they're condemned by the loss of their faith and their loss of eternal life. In the first case, the seed on the path eaten by birds, it says, "The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved," verse 12. Notice in verse 12 that in this first case, the people did hear the word, which means they understood what it said. But they could not, or they would not, believe it. The immediate loss of the word from people's hearts happens for any number of reasons. There's lots of reasons. Many times it's because their heart is so focused on themselves, there is no place for God in their heart, and usually no place for anybody else either. Other times it is because the world has planted ideas into their mind which contradict the scriptures. And this is what happened in Athens when the people rejected the preaching of Paul because they could not believe the doctrine of the bodily resurrection, Acts 17. Most of the time, it is because the desire to sin is too strong, and people refuse to let go of that sin by repenting. So in all these cases, the diagnosis is hardness of heart, just like the hardness of the clay on the road. In the second case, which is the seed on the rock, a person hears and understands the word of God, and they believe. They become members of a Christian church by baptism and confirmation. They continue in the fellowship of believers, receiving communion, and enjoying the blessings that God provides through the church. But then, hard days come, which they did not expect. They thought that as God's child, they would suffer neither poverty, nor setbacks, nor major illness, nor major family problems. Some Christians even suffer persecution for their faith. And these are all times of testing, as verse 13 states. And some fall away, often never to return to the faith. The third case is equally sad because it's so common. The seed among thorns are persons who hear and understand the word of God, and they believe. They become members of a Christian church and continue in the fellowship of the church. But as verse 14 states, the cares and riches and pleasures of life choke out the faith, and the faith does not mature. Well, in my experience, this is the most common reason why the Word of God bears little fruit in our American society. It usually starts in the post-high school years when young people are free from their parents' influence. Then they get out of the habit of joining together with fellow believers on a weekly basis. Saturday nights are devoted to partying or nightlife, and Sunday morning comes way too early. And then, a little bit later, life with a career and family becomes too busy. And because they're too busy during the week, they think they need every single minute on the weekend to relax. So the church and the Word of God are not rejected outright. It just becomes a low priority, maybe the lowest priority in their life. And before they realize it, their faith has been choked out, and they do not believe. This seed in the thorns is a warning to all of you, not just to young people. It can happen to us too. What then is the gospel application of our text? Well, there's still the fourth soil. These are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. God's word does have a lasting effect on some people. It is heard and understood and takes root in their hearts. It produces faith, hope, and charity with good works in their vocation and service to their neighbor. The person with the word of God held fast in their heart returns to church weekly to be fed and renewed in their faith in that word. Now, why do some retain the word of God while others do not? Now, this is a mystery we cannot explain. Jesus does not explain it, except that those who do retain the word do so only through the power of the Holy Spirit that is in the word itself. But notice that the key is that some hold fast. They hold fast to the word of God. The word becomes part of their life. They think about it. It doesn't just go from one ear and out the other. They let it sink into their heart, at least weekly, through church services. Therefore, insofar as it depends on you, Jesus urges you in this parable to hold fast to his word by always hearing the scriptures and taking the message of those scriptures to heart. May our Lord grant you his grace and Holy Spirit so that his word proves fruitful in your life with faith, hope, and love until that hope is fulfilled in heavenly glory. In Jesus' name, amen.